In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. With our sermon hymn this morning, The Lamb, we're tying together our Old Testament reading from last Sunday, where God provided the lamb in the thicket to take Isaac's place as a sacrifice to God, with our gospel lesson for today, which speaks about the way of the cross, on which Jesus, the Lamb, was slain. Our sermon is the gospel for today. We continue our readings from the Gospel of Mark. We read in chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the experts in the law, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He was speaking plainly to them. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But after turning around and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind your mind set on the things of God, but the things of men." He called the crowd and his disciples together and said to them, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. After all, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? In fact, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels." This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dearly loved by God. One of my favorite movies is Men in Black. Now, you may or may not know that this movie is about creatures from other galaxies living for a time on Earth in the guise of human beings. In one scene, a young New York police officer whom they are recruiting is going to go into a jewelry store to try and find the source of a serious weapon that had been used. And so he tells the guy that's trying to train him, "I'm going to go in there and lay my thing down." Now, what he means by that is, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do my work in my unique way. We have other expressions similar to that, don't we? We may say to somebody, "Hey, I'm doing my thing." Or, "Go and do your thing." Now, God had a thing to do for Jesus Christ, his eternal Son. And by definition, that thing included all the things of God and had nothing to do with the things of men. And Jesus, God's Son, would do his Father's thing. He would do the things of God, carry them out, not in his own way, but in his Father's way, which was his way. And that way is the way of the cross. And you and I, and all disciples, when we go about our daily Christian lives, when we do our thing as Christians, that is the things of God, isn't it? It's not the things of men. And that includes, even for us, the way of the cross. Jesus chose not to follow the things of men. And that is something that we do not want to do either. So this morning we look at God's things are the way of the cross. Well, see, first of all, that is the way for Jesus. And secondly, that also is the way for us who come after him. Our Savior changed the way he spoke to his disciples at this point in his ministry. It was no longer the time for parables. It was no longer the time for figures of speech. Jesus was speaking to them plainly. He was frank and straightforward. He spoke in a way that was clear and beyond misunderstanding. This is the very first time when Jesus laid out in plain talk to his disciples God's way for him, the way of the cross. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the experts of the law, be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. This was God's way, the things of God. It was the way of the cross for Jesus, the way that he wanted to walk. It was not, however, the way that Satan wanted Jesus to go. This angel who fell from heaven and whose name Satan means adversary plotted against Jesus to have him instead walk the ways of men. The ways of God meant his complete and utter destruction and sentence to eternity in hell. Satan didn't want Jesus to go that way. He rather wanted Jesus to walk in the ways of men. The ways of men are the easy way, the pleasant way, the way that doesn't exclude myself and my self-centeredness. They're ways that have nothing to do with God's will or God's revealed words. Some translators translate it this way, to not be on God's side. The things of men are anything that somehow weakens the suffering and death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection from the dead as God's declaration of our justification. How did Satan go about trying to get Jesus off the way of the cross? He used Peter. Peter was his instrument, his tool for his plan. Now Peter, just earlier, when Jesus asked, "But who do you say I am?" Peter spoke up and said, "Well, you're the Christ. We believe that you are the Messiah, whom the Father has sent." Peter did not understand what way that meant, what the thing of God meant in that regard. He didn't understand that that would mean that his Lord, his Master, his teacher, his friend would have to be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the experts in the law. He didn't realize that it meant that Jesus would have to be killed on a cross, numbered with transgressors. And so Satan, through Peter, rebuked Jesus for even talking that way, for even thinking about that was going to happen to him. But Jesus would have none of it, of course. And he turned and looked at his disciples. The word means he looked straight at his disciples so that they would know what he would and hear what he was about to say. And then he turned to Peter and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Literally, go away. Go away from me, Satan. And Satan went away from Christ. Once again, Jesus shows his power as God, his power over the demons, his power over the temptation to sin, to go the ways of men that are not on God's side and not go in God's ways to do the things of God. Now we must understand, and we've been there, that Peter believed that he was doing the right thing. Peter loved Jesus. He didn't want to see anything happen to Jesus. But Satan tried to use even his love for Jesus to be greater than the ways of God because of his misunderstanding. And how often haven't maybe we thought that? You know, the things of God are never things of sin, never things that go against the ways of God. But how often maybe we haven't thought, "Oh, I love Jesus, but I'm still going to live in this sin." Or, "I love Jesus, but I'm still going to cling to this lie of the devil that I believe about something the Bible says." Or, you know, "I love my child," or "I love my neighbor," or "I love somebody at work. Therefore, that means that I'll excuse their sin. It means that I'll tell them, well, your godless religion is just as good as mine." Or that you can go on rejecting Christ and be saved because, you know, "I love them and I don't want to cause them any to be uncomfortable. I don't want to cause them any pain. I don't want them to think I'm judging them or think I'm better than them. So because I love them, I'll take and do the things of men rather than the things of God." And so Jesus rebuked Satan, and he rebuked also certainly Peter and all of us in that warning to not confuse love with walking the way of the cross. Soon, very soon, the religious leaders would literally, they would test out Jesus as the Messiah. And when he didn't pass the test, they rejected him. And then they killed him on the cross. In this passion, in going to the cross, in being rejected, Jesus did the things of God. And he walked that way of the cross. And he would also rise again. Notice Jesus says, "And after 3 days, rise again." Jesus knew that the way of the cross, the things of God, included his new life. That new life that he would have after redeeming the world from our sins. That new life as a true human being in which he would spend eternity with his Father forever. Jesus would pay that terrible price, that horrible price of suffering in his passion for our sin and guilt. But he walked the way of the cross. He did the things of God because he knew that they led to the empty tomb, that they led to his resurrection, and we know that it leads to ours. But Jesus isn't the only one who doing God's things as the way of the cross. That's also true of us who come after Jesus, who follow him, who walk after him. You know, we are more closely attached to Jesus than we sometimes realize, and maybe sometimes even want to be. Because Jesus tells us that by our attachment to Him, by our coming after Him, that we too will go and walk the way of the cross. That we are not to do our thing according to our own ideas, according to the philosophies and the wisdom of this world, but we are to do the things of God. It means doing God's things, walking the way of bearing our crosses. Now, the difference, of course, is that bearing our crosses doesn't pay for anything. Bearing our crosses as Christians does not help or contribute one iota toward our salvation. Only Christ going the way of the cross has done that. But when we follow Him, we follow in that path of bearing suffering and death for Him, for His sake, He says, and for the sake of the gospel. And once again, Jesus speaks in very plain words, in words that nobody can misunderstand. Every person has a clear choice and a clear cost. If you want to save your life now, then you're going to lose your soul for eternity. But if you lose your soul now, then you'll save it for eternity. And if you lose your life now, then that's going to bear the imperative of bearing the cross, of being rejected by men as Christ was. But if you want to save your life and go the ways of men, then you're going to maybe pile up all kinds of things in this world and things in this life that you might have to gain. Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. And this isn't just limited to, and I don't mean this in any humorous or sarcastic way, that if a Muslim or an unbeliever wants to kill me for being a Christian, that I either confess Christ or deny Christ. It certainly includes that. But losing or keeping my life is much more than that. Life here can mean soul. It means my entire being, my entire experience. It includes my worldview, the way I look at things. Whether I'm looking through the lens of God's Word or whether I'm looking through the lens of the things of men. So Jesus says, if I want to save my life, that doesn't just mean my physical existence. It means what I love in this world. It means what I'm involved in, what I treasure, how I think, how I view things that happen to me in this life. We might say it's like banking the things that exist only for the now. And so Jesus says, if you bank the things of this life and you love them, then you're going to lose your soul when you die. And he points that out really with two pretty good questions. He asks, and what, after all, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? It doesn't do you any good because you've lost everything even in this world, plus you've lost also your soul. And the other question is, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And there he's saying, okay, in this, I love this life. I gather up all the things of this life. I hold all the world views of this life. And then on judgment day, I'm standing before God who is going to send my soul to hell. What do I have that I can offer God? What did I gain that I can go to God and say, I'll give you this, now you give me my soul back? There's nothing. Nothing that we can gain in this world that we could offer to God to get our soul back for eternity if we have been ashamed of Him in this life. But then Jesus goes on, whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. But now if I give up worldliness, if I give up materialism, if I give up my worship of self-centeredness, if I give up doing my thing and the things of men, if I give that up now and walk the way of the cross of suffering and rejection for the sake of Christ and the gospel, I will have gained the most important thing of all. If I lose all of that, I still have gained and kept my soul for eternal life in heaven with God. God's thing is the way of the cross. His things are the way of the cross for His Son Jesus, to suffer and die and rise again, to redeem us and for our justification. The ways of God for us are following under the cross, being rejected and suffering for being Christians, for being believers. The things of men, as I said, are anything that limits or hinders the teaching of the suffering and death of Christ to pay for our sins. Now, you and I are living in the midst of an adulterous and sinful generation. We are living in a society where some people believe that what we believe and what we trust in and what we rely on is foolishness in the least and mental illness at the most. They think the things of God are nothing, but the things of men are what are all important. We realize that the things of men are not righteous, but they are demonic. They come right out of the mouth of Satan. We are strangers and aliens living for a brief time on the planet Earth. God has come to us and laid down His thing, and His thing is Christ's cross. The things of God are the way of the cross for Jesus, and the way of the cross for you and for me who follow Him. It is the way of faith. Faith in Jesus that leads us not to His being ashamed of us, but to give us glory when the trumpet sounds and we welcome the Son of Man as He appears on the clouds in the glory of His Father with His holy angels. Amen.